G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
The scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.
Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out what happens to us when we fulfill God's plan for our lives and share the good news of God's love.
When you engage someone in a conversation about Jesus Christ and you share what God has done for you, you just blossom. You come to life. So if you want to spring in your step, then share the gospel.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
So many people think if they share the gospel with someone, they'll regret it. Oh, they might have a question I can't answer, or they may shut me down, or they may not like me anymore. If you talk to those who have shared the gospel, they'll tell you it's exhilarating. We'll find out why today on A New Beginning as Pastor Greg Laurie brings us a message called Happy Feet. He'll reference a verse in our text and we'll find out happy is a good word for how we'll feel.
I'd like to begin with a story I've told before about a preacher who was moonlighting as a lifeguard. He needed to make a little bit of extra money, and so he would go down there and work the lifeguard stand. But the problem was 10 to 15 people were drowning in his area every time he was working. So they were obviously alarmed, and they went down to check out what was going on, and they saw when someone was drowning, the preacher lifeguard would sit in his stand and look at them and say, God bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, God bless you. Get it? Right. Okay. Speaking of needing a lifeguard, a number of years ago, I was with my son, Jonathan, and him and I were in the ocean. I was teaching him how to catch waves. And so I'd sort of hold him up, and a wave would come. I'll push him into the wave, and he's just a little guy. I mean, he may have been 3 years old. And so all of a sudden, I'm only a few feet from shore, like, I don't know, it seemed like 10 feet from shore, I got caught in this weird little riptide. And a riptide is when the water's sort of pulling you, and my feet were pulled off the ground. I couldn't get my feet on the ground, and I'm in this little mini riptide, and I'm holding him above the water. It was a very awkward situation because I was so close to shore. Meanwhile, the lifeguard sees me, and she comes down from her lifeguard stand with her flotation device running toward me. I'm like, I do not want to be saved this close to the shore. This is humiliating. And she's now in the water, swimming, turning, and I don't want to be saved this close to shore. Finally, I got my footing. I said, thank you. I'm good. Thank you so much. And she waved and then went back in again. But, you know, those little riptides can get hold of you. But when we're in trouble, and if there is a lifeguard nearby, it's good to have someone to call out to. You know, the Bible uses the word saved a lot. This is a word that has maybe fallen out of fashion a bit. We don't see it as much as we used to, but actually, is it not the perfect word to describe what it means to be a Christian, to be saved? It's a dramatic word. It's a word you'll read in a newspaper article about a firefighter who went into a burning building and saved a person. Or it's used of a lifeguard who swam out and rescued a person who was only 10 feet from shore because they're a moron. They were saved. But it's a perfect word. And the Bible tells us that God has saved us. And you used to see on churches big signs that would say, Jesus saves. And I love that because that's so true. Jesus saves. And that's exactly what he does. There may have been a time when more folks would walk up to non-believers and actually ask them the question, are you saved? But I don't know if we would use that expression as much today as we used to, but I think we ought to because it's very accurate. According to the Bible, you are either saved or you are lost. You are either born again or you are spiritually dead. According to Scripture, you are either headed to heaven or you're headed to hell. Now, I know that's not politically correct to say in this day and age, but it is biblically correct, and nothing has changed in the Bible the last time I checked. And so we want to all make sure that we are saved, and we want to do everything we can to help our neighbors and our family and our friends and people we know to be saved as well. So here in Romans 10, Paul tells us how people are saved, and he also tells us we should care enough so other people can be saved as well. So if you're taking notes, here is point number one. If you want to see people saved, it starts with prayer. If you want to see people saved, it starts with prayer. So when we're thinking of sharing our faith, we usually think about how should I start the conversation? How should I kind of engage them? And you know, really the first thing you should do before you talk to someone about Jesus is pray for them. Pray for them. And what kind of a prayer do you pray? You pray that the Lord would open their spiritual eyes. And you pray that God would soften their heart. And you pray that they would be receptive to the message that you are about to bring. We don't simply pray before we work. Prayer is the work, then God works. Let me say that again. We don't simply pray before we work. Prayer is the work, then God works. It's been said, the battle is won on the knees, so pray for people. Now, how many of you know people that are not Christians that you would like to see come to faith? Now, how many of you have prayed for those people by name? That's good. Do that. Do that. Do that a lot. Pray before you start any conversations. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here in Romans 10:1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. That was his prayer. And he was saying, Lord, this is what I want more than anything else. And this is what Jesus told us to do. Over in Matthew 9:26, we read, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and they were helpless and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the harvest. I love this, especially when it says that he looked at the multitudes and he saw them as confused and helpless. Far too often we see non-believers as the enemy. Non-believers are not the enemy. Non-believers are under the control of the real enemy, who is Satan. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. But sometimes we think of them as the enemy, and actually we don't even want them to be saved. That reminds me of old Jonah. You know, Jonah was called by God to go preach to the Ninevites. They lived in Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. These were the avowed enemies of the Jewish people. It would be like Iran, perhaps, today, who wants to destroy the Jewish people and has threatened on multiple occasions to want to wipe them off the face of the planet. So here is Jonah, called by God, and Jonah didn't want to go. You say, why? Because he was afraid that he would fail? No, he was afraid he would succeed. And he didn't want these people to believe. It was his hope that God would eradicate the Ninevites and the nation of Assyria from the face of the earth. And that's one less enemy Israel has to deal with. He did not want to go because he knew the nature of God. And in fact, when he went and preached to them and they did repent of their sin, Jonah was kind of mad at the Lord. Lord, I knew you would do this. I knew you would forgive those people. That's why I didn't want to go. Oh man, let's not have that heart toward other people. Let's be thankful God forgave those people.
Thanks for joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. Pastor Greg is presenting a message from the book of Romans today called Happy Feet. Let's continue.
Number two, when you want to see people saved, you will face obstacles. Just know that. If you want to see someone saved and you start praying for them and you start engaging them, man, you're going to face opposition from the enemy, and they will probably oppose you as well. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Paul says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God. Now he's talking about his fellow Jews, but it's a misdirected zeal. They don't understand God's way of making people right with themselves. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given, and as a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Let me make a controversial statement. Cats are good. No, that's not the statement. I love soy lattes. No, that's not it either. Kale's awesome. No, that's not it. Here's the statement. Religion will ultimately probably send more people to hell than all the other sins combined. You're going, well, wait, what? Aren't you religious? I hope not. I sure don't want to be. Isn't Christianity a religion? Yes, in one sense it is. But in another sense, it's far more than that. It is a relationship with God. So when I say religion keeping a person from God, I mean when you go to someone and say, are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus? And they say, I was raised in the church, or I was baptized, or I received communion, or I gave my confession to the priest, or fill in blank here. So they immediately pivot to good works, or they pivot to religious activity. But if that is keeping you from God, you're missing the point. This was the thing with the Jewish people. They had the law given to them, but the law was never meant to save them. The law was only given to show them they needed a savior. There's only one man who has ever walked this earth who has kept all of the law without any failure at all. And it was Jesus Christ. Only one. And the reason for that is nobody else can do it. Because we don't have the ability to live by those standards. So the law says you need help. The law pointed to the answer. Everything in the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices and the feasts and the high priests were all symbols and shadows of the fulfillment that would come through Jesus Christ himself. The law is described as a shadow of things to come. Be like if you traveled and were gone from your family for a month and finally you came home and you're getting off the plane and there stands your family with open arms and the sun's behind them. It's a beautiful scene. And you run toward them and instead of hugging them, you drop down on the ground and start hugging the shadow and say, did you lose your mind while you were gone? Why are you hugging the shadow? We're right here. When you hang on to the law, that's what it is. You're hugging the shadow. That is pointing to something. It's Jesus. And so Paul is saying the problem is they don't understand God's way of getting right with him. So God wants to save them. How does that happen? Point number three, there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Verse 8, Romans 10. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you ever openly declared that Jesus is Lord? Let's do it right now on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Is that hard to say? I hope not. It should be the easiest thing to say. And it's something we all need to say. You can't just feel it. You need to act on it. Notice that it says, if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sometimes we give intellectual assent to something, but it doesn't take hold in our heart. So the reason Paul says this is this needs to be an inner conviction. Yes, you mentally agree to it, but you embrace it as a conviction. It's something that is real to you, and thus you verbally proclaim it. It's very important to verbally say what we're thinking in our heart. Let's be honest. Guys have trouble with this. Girls, not as much. Girls are far more open to express their affection and love toward one another, and they'll even say, love you, I love you, love you, love you. Guys, they'll do that, sort of. love you, man. You even lower your voice a little. You don't want to give them the wrong idea. Love you, man. Then you punch them in the arm or something, right? bro. Yeah. So, well, you know, it's not as easy for a man, but know this about men. We have the same emotion and the depth of love that everyone else has. We just express it differently. So we have to work a little harder at that sometimes. And to say to our wife, I love you. And wives, you're not off the hook. You need to say that to your husband too. I love you. I respect you. I appreciate you so much. And we need to say it to the Lord. Lord, I love you. I appreciate what you do for me. I honor you. I glorify you. Well, the Lord can see my heart. Yes, but he tells us to offer him the sacrifice of praise with the words of our lips. So we need to say, Jesus is Lord. We need to say it in the church. We need to honor the Lord in our worship, and we need to say it to others as well, bringing me to point number four. We must tell people that they need to be saved. We must tell people that they need to be saved. Go to Romans 10, verse 14. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why this scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Beautiful feet. You know, we don't generally think of feet as beautiful, do we? But maybe another translation will help us understand it. To have beautiful feet is speaking of something that's in full bloom. So think now about a blossoming flower. That is the picture that is here. When you share the gospel, you are like a blossoming flower, a fragrant flower. I mean, what is more beautiful than flowers? And you see them, and it's just such a wonderful thing to behold. And when you engage someone in a conversation about Jesus Christ and you share what God has done for you, you just blossom. You come to life. Actually, the word beautiful can be translated lively. How lively are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. So if you want lively feet, if you want, yes, happy feet, if you want a spring in your step, then share the gospel.
Pastor Greg Laurie with good insight on the benefit we'll enjoy when we share the gospel with someone else. And there's more to come in this message here on A New Beginning. Next time, more from the series Relentless Grace from the Book of Romans. But as we close for today, Pastor Greg shares the significance of telling others about the love of Christ.
Let me say something that maybe you've not heard, maybe you have heard it. I honestly believe that a key to personal revival is to share your faith. Let me say that again. A key to a personal revival is to share your faith. And let me tell you why. The gospel by design is not to be hoarded. It's to be shared. And as you share this life-giving message with others, it's also a life-giving message to you. Because sometimes what happens is as you are declaring what God has done for you and what God can do for the person you're speaking with, you're reminded of all the things that have happened in your own life. It's like you're rediscovering these great truths, and it comes to life for you.
Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called Happy Feet. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.